Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming, with your host, Shannon Holiday, and me, Letitia Thomas.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming. I'm your host, Shannon Holiday, and I am joined once again in the studio with Letitia Thomas. How are we doing this morning, Tish?
We're doing great. I nearly closed the tab. I nearly swore on her.
I saw that. You mouthed it and I was like, what's going on your side of the fence this morning? What have you done?
Yeah, I accidentally closed the tab. That's enough.
It's the worst thing when you're like, you're all ready to go for one of these and then the panic if you accidentally close anything.
You're like, and it's closed.
I needed that information. I needed that. How have we been doing this past week?
Yeah, it's been a week.
It's been a bit of an interesting week.
Yeah, pretty boring on my account.
I don't have too much to kind of go through since last week. I think both of us realized for this topic for this week, we haven't actually watched a lot of his films, Matthew McConaughey films.
Going
into it.
I was like, because you wanted to do this from like the get-go this year. And I said, all of his films are not on streaming. So
what
I
are we
simply
doing?
Cannot.
Yeah.
Why Matthew McConaughey? Why for you?
I think it was Interstellar as a movie, which I wanted to discuss with you, which we will today, so that's fine. I think he's just one of those actors. He's been around for a long time, and he's quite versatile, given that I've watched a lot of his films this week, definitely. Although he's a little bit typecast in probably about three type of things. But he is quite versatile, and I don't think he's a terrible actor. I think he's quite good.
No, so, I was just very confused.
Yeah.
He said Matthew McConaughey and I went, well, I've seen like three of his films.
Yeah. I was like maybe seven by then.
Yeah. I was like, why the, because especially because he's not really in much now. He's still working. He's a working actor, but he's not like current big name in Hollywood in the way that like.
His draw card has changed from his like early days. We'll get him to a bit later.
I just wanted to know why. I was very curious.
I think it was a curveball. You know, it's something we probably wouldn't have picked, so let's just pick it.
Okay, yeah, fair.
Let's do something out of our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
It's something that we're both not really that strong on.
No.
Not really?
We weren't. There were some times I was watching movies this week and I went, oh, God, what am I doing?
Well, I felt the same with a couple, and I'll get into that a bit later. And it took every fiber of my being to try and complete some of these films. But there's a reason why, and we'll get into that a bit later. Did you watch anything this week? I've only watched one thing, which we'll talk about, but if you've got anything else.
I watched a couple.
Yeah, okay.
I did some early homework and I watched Quiz Lady for just to get like a heads up because it's in the Emmys as like a TV movie. And this is one with Sandra Oh and Awkwafina. Surprisingly, I quite enjoyed it. It's not like, you know, obviously it was a TV movie, right? So it's got that quality, I suppose. Like it's not high concept or anything like that. But yeah, it was entertaining. Both of them are great in it. Very kind of ABC story, but enjoyable to watch. Like hour and a half.
Like small scope, funny.
Yeah.
Just to the point.
Funny, good bit of heart.
I saw it pop up on my Disney Plus a couple of times, actually. It's been in the top banner a few times. And I'm like, oh, I kind of want to check this out. I feel like Awkwafina is in like every straight-to-streaming movie at the moment. She's obviously in that Jackpot movie at the moment.
Yes, I've not seen yet.
John Cena, which I haven't seen yet either. And she's got that very distinct voice, right? Like a very distinct voice and very distinct humor style that comes along with like the delivery of her lines. And that's why she's in a lot of animated movies as well.
Yes. She's very good for animation.
Yeah, perfect.
I like her and stuff.
I think she's fine. I have no issue with her. I like her stuff generally. There is a lot of like polarizing opinions on the internet about Awkwafina, but I think she's great.
Yeah, and I think maybe some of those polarizing things have merit, but to me as just a simple viewer from Australia with no need to have a strong opinion one way or another because I'm not from any community in which it's related to, I'm just having a fun time watching her on screen.
If you're consuming it for the product that it is, you're like, this is completely fine. I'm on board. She did a good job.
And I mean, this film itself, there's I mean, there's no reason for contention. She's just a Asian American girl.
Yeah.
That's it. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it.
Sweet. I might have
to. Both of them are amazing. I mean, it's Sandra Oh.
Yeah. So. Yeah, she's great.
And it's up for an Emmy, so do your homework.
I'll have to see it. I'll have to see it beforehand. We've got a couple of weeks before the Emmys. I think two-ish weeks from now.
Christ, I've got a lot to watch.
I might have to watch a couple of at least pilot episodes just to say I've kind of got a somewhat of an idea. Maybe two episodes because pilot's always different.
I feel like I watched a pilot for something else this week.
Have you started Shogun yet? Mm-mm. No, we've got to do that.
I did watch Abbott Elementary the other week too, I think I forgot to mention.
That's usually always up.
Yeah, didn't mind. Well. Like, I'm like, popular. I get why, and would probably keep watching.
Given a different time.
Yeah. And then I've been watching Bluey, which tells you that I'm.
You need a break. From everything.
Literally, I was like, Bluey. Hang on, wait, these are 7-minute episodes.
I can consume them easy.
So I've just been like, when I'm like, oh, you know, doing work, like writing or something, and then I'm like, okay, I need a break. I'm like, cool, like 2 episodes of Bluey. All right, back in. Yeah, and I'm not the only person that's been in this headspace. I was talking to someone at work the other day and I was like, yeah, dude, like, I don't know how I'm doing. I've been watching Bluey and like, I'm not someone that's watched Bluey before. I've like seen an episode or two, but not. Yeah. No. And she goes, oh yeah, I've been watching Adventure Time. So I think we're both just mentally like effed. And I'm like,
I think you just spent, to be honest.
Yeah.
Knowing you and where you're at, you're a bit spent.
I think I'm just spent. That's pretty much it. Yeah. I did watch a movie late last night though that,
I did see you log that.
Yeah, I watched Eileen, which is a film I'd known about forever.
It's got that Australian girl in it.
She's New Zealand.
Yeah, same thing.
Thomasin McKenzie, who
that's the
is
one.
Probably most known for Jojo Rabbit. She's the Jewish girl that they hide in The Walls. Her and Anne Hathaway. And yeah, I remember seeing the trailer lots and I was like, I need to see this movie. It looks cool. And then it just didn't come to Australia forever. And then it was like, hey, it's coming to Netflix. And I was like, I still want to watch this movie.
Day one.
So, I came home last night from hanging out with friends and I was like, hour and a half, Eileen, I'm going to watch it. I think I really enjoyed it. It's one of these ones that I think you either like it or you don't like it. It's
the simple premise of it?
Based on a book by Atessa Moshfegh, I think is how you say her name. And she's very big in like the book talk world for like really like grim, gritty, kind of gross ideas. And I think this was a shorter one in terms of like maybe it was a novella or something. But it's set in 1964. It looks stunning. They didn't shoot on film, but they did the
post.
So it looks like it. So it kind of stylistically, it kind of looks like Carol, which similar in vain, but so it looks just gorgeous. The opening of this film has like old school horror title, Stephen King font. So it's stylistically gorgeous. You're in it the whole way through. Kind of a slice of life about this young secretary, Eileen, who works at a juvenile prison. And they get this new prison warden, Rebecca, played by Anne Hathaway. And they have this like kind of a romance, but it's more of an infatuation.
Yeah, it's like a power dynamic, right?
Yeah. And it's just, I don't even think it's very long. I think it must be a couple of weeks this story is set over of their power dynamic and where it takes them. If I get into it too much, it ruins the film because it is like very much an hour and a half slice of life.
Yeah.
You're in, you're out. You're kind of left with a lot of questions, but I think I like that actually.
It works for this film.
Yeah, it's just
sometimes
kind of
sometimes it
like,
doesn't, but sometimes it really does.
Oh, yeah. What was this? What's going on? What happens to these people? Why? Like, there's so many questions that are left unanswered, but I think I really liked it for this one. So I would definitely check it out because it's, again, it's short. It's 90 minutes. So get in, get out. Very vibey.
Yeah, that's similar to the film I went and saw at the cinemas on Thursday. I went and saw Blink Twice.
Oh, I really want to see this one. Probably won't, but I really do want to see it.
I would recommend it. It's really good. But the best way to, like, I'm not going to give away any kind of plot because it kind of is part of the mystery, any part of it. I loved this film. It's, very well acted, pretty simplistic, but also incredibly well executed by first-time director.
Zoe Kravitz.
Yeah.
I think she's
always been. She wrote it as well.
very talented, quietly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Like, great actress. And obviously, yeah, can direct the hell out of something. So if you haven't heard of it, go watch the trailer. And then I would strongly recommend finding some time in the next couple of weeks to check this one out, because I had a very good time. And it's a good mystery. It's you don't really know what's going on. And then you get to like when you find out some stuff, you're like, oh, damn. Damn. And it just kind of adds a new layer to the film.
I've been definitely trying to avoid spoilers as much as possible.
Try if you can, because if you can go in as blind as you can to this film, yeah, you'll enjoy it so much more than knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a good time. It was worth it. The other thing I've been doing this week is I bought a Lego.
Yes.
I know, because I'm a bit of a Lego fiend. We've got a few around the house. And
I don't think I could Lego.
No, I don't think you could.
Following instructions is not a strong suit of mine.
How were you with colouring in books as a kid?
I was very good. In the lines.
You kept them in the lines? Beautiful. Then you should be fine with Lego.
Beautiful,
you
know? Colouring in. Oh, yep. My God. Grandma still got it on the fridge.
There you go. You can keep to rules and you should be able to do the Lego. No, so, yeah, well.
Yeah.
As I've shown you when you walked in today, the Lego I've been doing is the architecture version of Notre Dame. It's a big set, and it's taken me probably nearly close to 2 full days to get to where it's at. It's not finished yet. And I showed you the instruction booklet, and you're like, no thanks.
I was like, I feel sick.
That's too many. That's too much. And what I've been doing, I've been watching a lot of Matthew McConaughey films while building it.
Yeah, right.
So that's why I've actually logged a big chunk of his films. But I also, in between watching his films, I've finished off Community. And then I restarted again. Like, I literally just cycled.
That's me. You're doing a me. This is me all the time.
I was like.
So it's like in this brain.
It's like I don't really need to pay attention, but I can hear what's going on. I know exactly the scene. I've seen it before and I've cycled through. I'm now halfway through season 2 again.
Christ.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of that as well. And I'll probably finish it again. Just again.
Well, good for you. I've been doing homework for the podcast. No.
Hey, get out of here. I've watched so many Matthew McConaughey films in the past 7 days.
And that's on you. I didn't watch as many.
Oh, look, I'm glad I did. If we're all ready to get into the topic.
Oh, I've got some news, actually.
Okay, you get some news, then we'll get into...
some things I was meaning to mention and I forgot.
Yeah.
First off, did you hear about the Joaquin Phoenix saga? Have you heard about this?
No.
Okay, so this is a couple... like, it's a little bit old, so sorry to everyone at home, but, you know, still relatively, I found it fascinating. Also, like... what a douchebag. Basically,
I don't know what it
he
is
was
yet.
Doing a film with Todd Haynes, who's famous for Carol. He brought the idea to him, helped with the script, said, hey, let's make it super R-rated. Like, let's really get into this. It was like a gay love story. I was like, yeah, let's really get into it. Let's do all the stuff, blah, blah, blah. They were ready to shoot. It was like a couple of days before production. He just pulled out the film.
Really?
Yeah. He went, I don't think I can do this now. So you brought the idea to him. You said, let's make it R-rated.
And just leave?
And then you chickened out? Grow up. Also, you're married to Rooney Mara. She's done some film. She's okay with it. Get on board, mate.
Did they say why? Or is it kind of been left to interpretation, which usually is
I think
wrong.
It's very much he just got cold feet.
Right, okay.
And went, I don't think I can do these things
these,
now.
These like, scenes.
You brought it to them.
It's your creation, basically.
Yeah, and it's literally to the point where someone
who's sue him.
Yeah, well, people on the film have come out and said, please do not come at us for being like, this is why you should hire gay actors to do gay roles. This man came to us with all of this. So many people are now out of work. The amount of money that was about to go into this film. And so they're now trying to work
scramble
out
who
if
they
it's
can get.
Possible to recast him. But at this stage, kind of quite difficult. It was supposed to be shooting now.
Yeah, it'd be hard to find someone who's free.
Yeah.
Probably as close to A-lister as him and who's willing to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, dude, what the hell?
Yeah, that's...
what the hell, man?
That's not a good look. No. It's not a good look. Whether or not there is more in the background that we're not aware of.
Maybe.
Maybe. But if
it doesn't
not,
sound,
it doesn't
sound like
look
it.
Good.
Mm-mm.
From a PR perspective, it doesn't look good.
No. And like forgetting all of the like... political correctness, whatever side of it. If you've got an idea and you want to do it, don't chicken out last minute, sir.
No, it's your
regardless
idea. You should
of
be like,
what it is. Yeah.
If you've backed this idea from the start, you should be confident in what you've put forward, right? Like,
Yeah, you can't get cold feet last minute. Mm. Wild, wild, wild.
This isn't going to do well for Joker, Folie à Deux.
This is not a good look.
It's not a good look.
Nah. And then my other piece of news, I woke up this morning to find out that they have greenlit, well, Warner Brothers, which is interesting, has greenlit season 4 of Ted Lasso, which I don't think is going to follow Ted as a character because they've signed on Hannah Waddingham, who is Rebecca. They've signed on Brett Goldstein, who is good old Roy Kent, and he also wrote a lot of the show. And they've got Jeremy Swift, who played Higgins, who's the little... Do you remember Higgins?
Yeah.
Yep. So they haven't got a lot of others yet, but I think it's just they were signing on a few people to announce it. I do think it might potentially follow a women's team because at the – are we going to spoil or not?
Yeah, we have spoilers for season 3 of Ted Lasso.
At the end of that season, which isn't really a big deal. It's not like going to ruin your whole thing, but there was a moment where Keely comes in and goes, I've got an idea, Rebecca, and it's for a women's team for Richmond, which makes sense. And they marketed the DVD of this, which is odd because it's Apple and Apple – Roadshow put it out for us, which is odd. But they've marketed it as, instead of Ted Lasso, which it's known, they've gone Ted Lasso, the Richmond way for DVD release.
Yeah, which means they probably knew like, something else was coming.
Something's coming. Also, why are you releasing it on a DVD? So anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, Apple
that.
Might have, maybe they're different from Netflix where they've just paid distribution like rights to someone else to get it out there.
So that they can get people back on board for this new one because... Yeah.
Well, Apple did you? I don't know if I brought this up to you or talked about it. It's, I think it might have been a previous episode. It's something like the amount of people streaming or like users on Netflix. It's something like there's more users in one day of Netflix or like hours watched than there is in an entire month of Apple TV Plus.
Doesn't surprise me. It's very specific,
which
Apple.
Which means Apple's probably like trying to expand, probably get some more stuff out there.
And I've found like I've watched a handful of the shows on Apple TV Plus, and while some of them are undoubtedly brilliant shows, it is only Ted Lasso that I've watched where I've gone, I care deeply about these characters.
Yeah.
Any other show, like if they killed someone, I'd be like, oh, okay.
You watched Severance?
Cool. Yeah. Really liked it, but I wasn't in love with any of the characters. I was intrigued by them, but I wasn't like-
It's a different vessel.
Yeah, emotionally attached.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting news. There, I think we might be getting a women's version.
I'd watch it.
Season 4.
Watch Ted Lasso.
If it's the same, you know, heart it had in the first run, yeah, sure, bring it on.
I think, yeah, it's definitely one of those shows where they could easily go and do that. Obviously not bringing Ted in because his journey finished.
He might make the odd cameo appearance.
I've come back, hello.
Probably in the first episode to be like, hey... This is Ted Lasso still, but it's not.
Or they'll be on the phone, oh, hey, I heard from Ted kind of thing.
Yeah. They might do the Scrub season 9 thing where they basically rework it, but just have one of the original people in the first episode and that's it.
Well, they've got a couple signed on already, which to me-
Your link's still in.
Gives me hope that they're probably going to sign most of the other cast on. I mean, they loved working with each other. That's a thing. Yeah. So it's like, and they're all like, oh, we'd come back. Should they do more? And it was left very open-ended when they did
that on purpose.
The Richmond women, of course.
Yeah,
it's their only IP that's doing well.
It is, yeah. So cool. I'm excited for that.
Me too. That's about it. That's it for me.
Yeah.
That's it
okay.
That's all I got.
We are ready to crack on into Matthew McConaughey films.
I think so.
As we've been itching to kind of discuss a few things about him going forward and why we picked it. Obviously, he got his huge break in the 1993 film Dazed and Confused. And
I watched that a while ago.
I watched that a couple of months ago as well. It was very similar to me to Fast Times at Richmond High, where it's kind of like a group of teenagers, generally at the end of high school, taking place over like a very short amount of time. But like there's no real plot where it like centers on like one person, then it'll shift like central to another and then another, and he's in this and it's like one of those it's one of his iconic lines, and I think it's like one of the only things he's like known for now, even still now today, is like all right, and that just stuck with him since he kind of did that. He's obviously became more mainstream and he was definitely typecast into three types of roles I've picked up on in watching probably close to like 10 or 12 films recently. He's either a lawyer, he's a love interest, like a rom-com style thing, or he's like an adventurer, Indiana Jones style.
Also, he's had a couple of like, I'm a weird killer vibe.
He's had a bit of a mixed bag of roles, hasn't
he? It's interesting because, like you said, he's very much typecast, but he's got a couple of things.
He's got a couple of typecasts.
As opposed to just like, this is the one thing he's done. Yeah. You know, like, yeah.
You know, like action heroes are always just action heroes. Yeah. They don't do like a drama role. Whereas he can do like probably like three or four things well.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, like when I say like the lawyer ones, like you got like Lincoln Lawyer, mm-hmm. A Time to Kill.
Did you watch that?
I did watch that.
Yeah, yeah. I really liked that one.
It was interesting how it was tackling some pretty heavy topics.
Oh, yeah.
And when it popped up on the screen, it was like based on a book by John Grisham. And I was like, ah, well, there it is. Yeah. There it is right there.
What's that time too when they were making a lot of Grisham?
Yeah.
They were
adapting a lot of books in the 90s as well. It was good. It was good. I didn't realize this was the film where that really iconic Samuel Jackson line came from. Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, and it did the thing, the point at the screen.
Honestly, I tried to watch this in 2020.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, no, I cannot. It's too heavy.
Yeah.
Like, it's too many things. At the start, it's so heavy. And I was like,
yeah. It's shot really well, though.
Yeah.
It's shot incredibly well. I'm pretty sure it's Joel Schumacher, who's done a bunch of different films similarly. Yeah. And also, unfortunately, Batman and Robin. But
but yeah, no. And then obviously, he has his iconic monologue at the end, which this shot him to fame in a different level. This film, they went, oh, we can take him seriously in stuff. Because he was still pretty young when he did Time to Kill.
Yeah, this is, I think it's 97. Dazed and Confused was 93. And he was
96, this one, but pretty much 97. Yeah,
so he would have been like 26, 27 when he did A Time to Kill. It just shows he does have range.
Very much so, and,
yeah, he really acted his chops off in this, I think, comparative to, because he would have only done like bit parts and obviously Dazed and Confused before that. This was his really first big time to shine as an actor.
For everyone who doesn't know this film, it's him, Samuel L. Jackson, and Sandra Bullock. And Samuel L. Jackson's character has killed some people for assaulting his daughter, which is a polite way of saying what actually happens. But assaulting his daughter. And then Matthew McConaughey is his lawyer, and Sandra Bullock's helping Matthew McConaughey's character. And at the very end of the film, during a trial, Matthew McConaughey has a very iconic monologue. And I think if you do want to, like, if you are curious about what he can do, this film's a good one just to show off that, because I think monologues, if someone can nail a monologue,
They can act.
And it's a long monologue too.
Yeah, it's like a good 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, and it's you can't look away.
No, it's like his final, you know, like the final part of, you know, the briefings in a courtroom.
Yeah.
He's just doing his one, and it gets quite emotional as well. I really liked what he did in this film. I thought it was incredible. It's funny.
It's watchable. It's a very dark film in terms of...
The themes are very heavy.
Themes, but...
So as long as you're okay with anything, you'll enjoy this film.
Yeah, don't watch it in 2020 when you're depressed. Like, not good.
Oh, I'm stuck inside. Better watch A Time to Kill.
Yeah. Race politics. Let's watch this.
It's a very racially charged film.
Very much so.
It's got both the...
KKK.
The Sutherland... It's got Donald Sutherland, mm-hmm. Keith the Sutherland in it as well. It's got a bunch of different people that are quite famous in it as well. It's a big film. Very much enjoyed. The other lawyer one,
which you didn't
get to see, is The Lincoln Lawyer from 2011. This one, I'm pretty sure, is based on a book as well. I can't say who the author is, but it's definitely based on a book. This was a little bit more like urban and stuff, and he's like taking his like lawyer job a little bit more kind of casual and stuff comparative to the other one. That's one thing I'll say about Matthew McConaughey is he's definitely charming. Like all his characters have that level of charm to, you know, he can talk his way out of a situation or you know, that's why he's the romantic lead in a lot of films in like the early 2000s, because he's, you know, he's got that charm level to him. He's got that southern drawl. He's, you know, he's got he's attractive. He's pretty much always got his shirt off.
Yeah, actually, like a lot.
Nearly every single movie, he's just like, random scene. Oh, better take my shirt off. You're like,
maybe it's in his contract.
Maybe
like,
it is.
Like, genuinely, like, I'm not being a smartass. Like, actors are very big on putting random shit in their contract.
Oh, yeah. This might be it. Now to come to think of it, even probably Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh, yeah.
He's got his shirt off.
Which I do want to talk to you about at some point.
Oh, my God. We'll get to that. So yeah, more about Lincoln Lawyer. It's he's like a street-based lawyer. Like, it's the whole idea is he practices law out of the back of a Lincoln car. It's like an American car. I don't know much about American cars because they're all just big boats. And he's like, obviously, in the back of the car, you know, running deals and stuff. And it showcases at the start of the film that he's speaking to a biker gang and like how streetwise he is.
Yeah.
And making deals and stuff. And there's this whole plot twist. The plot's involving him representing this rich boy. And there's a bunch of plot twists along the way. And he's got to try and get out of it because he's kind of like trapped in the fact that he's like the actual lawyer to this guy. But so there's like confidentiality, client privilege. But he knows something has happened and it gets personal and stuff. It's a good film, actually. Surprisingly, really liked it. So, yet again, just showcases his charm and wit and stuff in this film.
Shall we get into a rom-com?
Let's get into his rom-coms because he's got a few.
I unfortunately watched How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
So did I.
Oh, how hetero nonsense was this one? Like, supposed to be, but God, was it hard to watch.
I will say it was pretty awful, but the day after I watched it, I watched Failure to Launch.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't bother.
Worse. But let's go back to How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
It's one of these ones where...
It was a classic early 2000s.
Very like, typical. She's like, okay, she's a columnist and yeah. She's writing one, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. So she's being like the worst girl, quote unquote. Yeah. And then he's made a bet. I reckon I can get a girl at a bar.
I can keep the girl for 10 days. Can keep her for 10 days. And make her fall in love with yeah. me. It's just and so stupid.
It's... grim to watch. I mean, look, if you love this movie, good for you. I'm glad someone does, but God, it's not for me.
It's not for me either. I get frustrated when the premise is so pigeonholed.
Yeah.
I hate that. And this was so pigeonholed. And also just some of the things that Kate Hudson was doing. Yeah. I was like, I can't.
It's set women back.
Oh, 100%. Like,
yeah.
But also, yeah, it was just stupid. Like the reasons why they were locked into these like
yeah.
rules, so to speak, I was just like, also, I can't deal with
it. It's like one film for the first half and then completely switches once they fall in love. But like it's not a nice, seamless transition.
No,
it's almost
not.
Like two different films
yeah, it literally,
cut together.
They're like doing couples therapy after like 3 days of dating. And then
Catherine Hahn.
Yeah, Catherine Hahn's completely underused here. She's,
yeah, she's amazing.
Severely underused. She's amazing anywhere else but this. And she's like the therapist who's just her friend. And then she suggests going to see his family out of nowhere. And then that's when she falls in love yeah. with him by playing cards with his family. And then it just changes to the fact that they realize they've got these rules together, but they actually love each other. It's just... cringe. And then all of a sudden it takes place like at the same party at the end. Why?
I contemplated just turning this off halfway.
I
strongly thought, do I have to finish this for the podcast? And I thought,
I'm pretty sure there's a Family Guy skit where Peter says, oh, look, I can really commit to things. I got halfway through Failure to Launch. So there's like a, yeah. That one's worse.
Yeah, tell me about that.
So that one's very similar where he's a 35-year-old who still lives home with his parents and has no plan to move out. So his parents employ a girl who's basically a professional whose whole job is to get these guys to move out, like unattach themselves to the parents yep. and attach themselves to her. And so the whole time there's same thing, set of rules, stupid rules, and he's just trying to stay there. She's trying to make him leave. Sarah Jessica Parker can't act. It's a whole thing.
I've never seen her in anything, so.
Sex and the City?
Yeah, I haven't. I know of it. I mean,
she's not really even, she's not even a character in that. Like, she's just herself. Like, there's no acting. She can't do much.
Yeah, I have nothing to add. So I'll just take it.
This is a really weird film. It's got like four animal attacks in this film.
What?
Like, he gets constantly attacked by different animals. First it's like a chipmunk, then it's a dolphin, then it's a lizard, and then I'm pretty sure there's a bird in it as well, but that bird is attacking Zooey Deschanel, who's also in it playing basically Jess from New Girl.
Okay.
Yeah, and so she ends up dating one of his friends who, because she's the housemaid of Sarah Jessica Parker, and then they work to get them back together again at the end because they obviously he finds out about the whole deal with the parents. It's basically, you know that film that came out last year, No Hard Feelings, with Jessica Lawrence? Jessica Lawrence?
Yes.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes.
Jesus.
Sorry, my brain was like, I was trying to, yes, I've seen
it's
it.
That?
No, I haven't seen it, but I know the film.
It's Jesus the Christ. Same premise where like the parents mm-hmm. employ a girl yeah. to make the kid cooler. That film was better. That was actually funny. This went, is just.
What if Failure to Launch was good? Let's well, write
yeah,
that.
Basically, yes. Like premise, yeah, okay, I can get on that. But let's get someone to write it better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that was Failure to Launch. There was another rom-com film that I'm. Oh, no, it wasn't on any streaming service. Darn. It was The Wedding Planner with J-Lo and him. Didn't quite get to that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, no. Oh, well.
And then there's also Ghosts of Girlfriends Past with Jennifer Gardner.
Yeah.
Which is based on the, it's a loose adaptation of Christmas Carol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I've watched Matthew McConaughey in a few films. I've seen Sing 1 and 2.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about his animated movies because I haven't seen anyone or Kubo either. So.
Can I tell you that I don't remember much about him within this? I probably didn't even recognize him at the time. He's like the lead, I think.
Is he the pig?
I think he's Buster, who's the...
Koala? He's the koala.
Let's see. Yeah, Buster Moon. Yeah, I watched these a couple of years back when I was working for
why
an animation.
Did you, I was going to say, why did you watch Sing?
I was working for an animation studio, so I was just like, I'm just going to brush up on my animations because I was doing a whole bunch of stuff, but at one point I was taking reference clips from films and going, oh, this is kind of like this scene. So yeah, I just needed to have seen a lot of animated films. Yeah, that's why I watched Sing 1 and 2.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously used for a particular reason. He's got a very
iconic,
very iconic voice.
Sound, yeah.
Very southern voice. You know Matthew McConaughey as soon as he appears on screen. You're like, yeah, okay. Even if he looks different. Yep, that's him.
I watched another one that I don't know if you've seen. I watched Killer Joe years ago.
I was going to ask you about that. Tell me about Killer Joe.
I don't remember heaps because, like, I've watched – it was a long time ago. But he's just, like, this cop who moonlights as a hitman. And he basically just wants to sleep with this young man's virgin daughter played by Juno Temple.
Was it for Juno Temple that you watched it for?
I think so. I think I'd seen her in a bunch of stuff and I was like, she's good.
What else do I want
to
watch?
What else has she seen? Yeah, like done what, how else did she act? Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. He was an odd film. Not like
Is
not,
he like a villain?
Mm.
Yeah, okay. I think he could do a villain quite well.
He does it quite well. He's kind of unhinged and you're like, I don't.
I can
stay away
that.
From her, sir. Yeah, it's just one of those ones that kind of came out probably no one saw.
Well, I mean, it's in the list.
But it's not
here, but I
bad, you know? It's yeah. one of those just like would have been probably straight to DVD
yeah,
films. But
it's on SBS On Demand. So I
think that's
it.
How I watched
yeah,
it
yeah, there's
a couple
lot
of
on
years
there,
back.
Surprisingly.
But yeah, it plays a very, very good villain and just someone unhinged, which is similar to him so far in – I've been watching
– True Detective
season
one.
Yeah, I think I'm – up to episode
it's
4.
It's so good.
And like only, like obviously because I've had a lot to watch this week, I didn't get through the whole lot, but I was like, I'll watch some. He plays a very damaged man quite well.
Yeah, I thought that he reminds me of his character out of Dallas Buyers.
Yeah.
From that, like particularly. He does it, yeah, he does damage so
And
well.
Like obviously I haven't seen the whole thing yet, so I don't know
where it goes
yeah. yet, but he plays, yeah, that damaged broken man.
I just think some of the
that's unhinged,
yeah.
capable of anything,
yeah,
which just makes you a little bit scared.
Just getting to see him act his chops off, particularly in the scenes where he's getting interviewed / interrogated, they are some of the best acting.
Yeah, it's fascinating watching that because obviously there's a time jump, and I don't want to get into it for people who haven't seen it because it, you know, and also I haven't finished it, but he's very much more stable, so it seems, at one point when he's obviously doing the case with
Woody Harrelson,
who it's kind of more his show than it is McConaughey's, actually, which I wasn't aware of. But then obviously when he gets interviewed, he's sort of yeah. fallen off the wagon. Very fascinating to watch
the dynamic of the two. I think they work incredibly well off each other because they are actually really good friends outside of acting. Like they've known each other for years. There's a whole rumor going around that they actually share the same father. I don't know.
Oh, I think I know this.
Yeah, something like that.
One of those odd Hollywood,
Hollywood rumors that is unfounded, but apparently, yeah, because they're so close as friends, they're like, oh, maybe they got the same father. I'm like, no.
I mean, maybe, but also
maybe, but
just because it's southern doesn't mean they're
doesn't
related.
Mean anything. Yes.
But yeah, should we talk about Dallas Buyers?
Yeah, let's go through that because I watched that last night. Glad I finally finished it because I watched half an hour of it roughly, probably about the year after it came out, mm-hmm. and I didn't finish it. Not because I didn't like it, because I think I just had something else happening and I didn't get back to it. I'm glad I watched the whole thing.
This movie is an odd one in my memory because I think I'd seen maybe the part of this at one point, which, and I don't know where, because it came out in 2013 and my memory is I'd seen it well before that. So yeah. Whether there's another movie that's similar enough that my...
With him in it?
No, maybe just, just Cowboy and my brain goes, I think I'd seen this film. I have a feeling I've seen it like many, not fully obviously, but I think I definitely had seen the opening of this possibly around when it came out on TV and probably mum went, what is happening? Change the channel. Because it's opening, it's pretty, what is this film going to be? And mum was like, these kids are innocent. I'm like, well, to a degree.
Yet again, pretty full on themes.
But then I'd never seen the full thing.
Yeah.
And I went and watched it just this week. And you know it's Matthew McConaughey, but I can't see him in this at all. Like,
completely
not at all.
Embodies the character, which is why I'm like, he did deserve the Academy Award that
year. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, it's not him.
It's not him. You see him in every other film, you're like, it's that Matthew McConaughey
doing
Matthew.
There's no trace of him in this.
No, it was incredible. It was incredible. And I will actually say, same thing with Jared Leto.
Yeah, I didn't see much of it. I could see him in it a bit.
Because I'm usually like, oh, Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Christ. But not in this film. This is a completely different vessel for him as well. Props to both of them. And it was really amazing to watch the journey that both those characters went on together.
Yeah, it's a beautiful film.
Watching them where they start off and they meet each other in the hospital and how, I guess, opposed to even being near Jared Leto's character he is. And then literally by, you know, the journey they go on.
Yeah.
The end of the film, how much they actually care about each
other. This film upset me to watch.
Yeah, it's a hard film to watch.
And it's odd because we're at a time where it's not so relevant.
No, there was definitely a
bit
outbreak in the
80s. Yeah, this is a couple, 20 years. I always think when I watch stuff like this, I go, God, if I was born 20 years earlier, half my friends would be dead. Like it would be a completely different world.
Yeah.
And then you watch
and
stuff like
this. And that's a scary thing to think about because that's what these people were going through.
Yeah, it scares me all the time when I do, because I'm like, God, half my friends wouldn't have made it out, which is nuts when now that I'm at an age where 20 years is not, it's tangible to me being like about to be 27. 20 years I can, when I was a kid, you're like 20 years, whatever.
It's the longest time in the world.
Yeah, but now it's like,
you can fathom,
only a generation, much, generation and a half maybe later. And it's. Yeah, so this film, if no one's seen it, go and watch it.
Yeah.
It's a stunning film, but it's based on the true story.
Yeah.
Of a guy named Ron Woodruff, who's played by McConaughey, who is a real piece of work to begin with. It's just southern racist, white trash, who gets diagnosed with HIV, AIDS, which, was going around and he's given 30 days to live and he's like, F that. Yeah. And in hospital he meets Jared Leto's character who I can't think what her name is.
Ramon,
that's right. Who's a trans woman who's got AIDS and they form a very unlikely friendship. Ron Woodruff's friends find out that he's got AIDS and suddenly none of them
they
want
treat
anything
him
to do with him.
Absolute trash. Which is what it would have been like. It was accurate.
It's truly accurate.
It's disgusting to watch, but you're like,
it's not hard to believe.
Yeah.
Even now, like if you think in certain places and with certain groups of people.
Oh, yeah.
If AIDS was rife now, it would be exactly the same.
The exact same thing.
Which is sad, but true. And suddenly he's got no one else, but Jared Leto's character keeps coming back to him being like, hey.
Yeah. And
I'm not that bad. You need a friend. We're at the hospital at the same time getting treatment.
Yeah. Well, there's like a B story, which is besides their relationship, he's obviously trying to survive for longer than 30 days. So he's trying to work out the best medicine to take. Now, he's taking a drug that he's getting from the hospital, but he works out it's making him wildly sicker because he was, taking cocaine, still drinking and that. And he goes to Mexico to try and see if there's any other drugs. And there's a particular doctor down there that says, don't take that. It's going to ruin your body, do this, this, and this, and then you should see some improvement.
Because it's an autoimmune disease.
So he does, and when he realizes that it's fixing him, but what's happening in actual hospitals is actually making it worse for that particular community. So he smuggles in a bunch of the drugs that he got from Mexico. And what he does is he builds this club called the Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah.
And instead of selling the drugs to people, which is illegal, he creates like a membership, and it's like $400 for the membership. Then you get the drugs for free, which is not illegal.
Yeah,
so, loopholes. But then the FDA tries to fight him on it. So the whole film's like him just trying to basically fight for the community, and then the FDA is trying to fight it.
What's interesting as well, which you don't really, they don't really mention, but these bias clubs are happening all over America. Yeah. And so he's like, oh, this is an idea someone else is doing. I'm going to take this one to Dallas.
Mm.
And it's a bunch of people just trying to survive for as long as they can.
Because the government's basically trying to make money off
drugs.
The drugs.
Which happens all the time. And it's, it's that awkward thing with medicine often where stuff does help, but are the side effects worth it? That's up to, you know, the patient, I guess. Yeah. And that's sort of examined through this, through Jennifer Garner's character, who's a friend to both of them, just as a doctor. She's trying to do what's best for them. Unfortunately, she's also in the medical community, so she's pushing the drug. And at some point, she sort of...
Yeah, she has an arc too.
She has an arc too, I think.
Which is really nice to see that she actually...
It's a rounded out perspective of this situation, or like of the AIDS situation in Dallas at the time.
At the time, yeah.
And how everyone's trying to do the right thing. It's not as black and white as, you know, she's a villain because she works in the medical field, and these people are, you know, villains because they're smuggling in drug. Like, it's very, it's an honest, I guess, portrayal of people and humanity.
It's presented in a way where it's like, this is the situation. We're not looking at it from a light or dark perspective. We're not going to do a spin on that in any particular way. It's like, this is facts. This is what happened.
Yeah, it's a hard watch, but.
Is it incredible? Yeah, you really kind of get behind these characters because his journey is incredible. Like from where he starts and that first couple of scenes of how much he's just like abusing his body and everyone else around him basically to where he ends up at the end. And like I think the last shot is him coming back to his house and it's like him getting welcomed by everyone that he's kind of supported up until that point, just kind of like hugging him basically when he gets back from one of the court trials. Is it's just like he didn't have anyone at the start because he was such a self-centered person to becoming a selfless person and everyone kind of welcoming back in. It was a great journey.
It's a fantastic film.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Now we're getting to the big one, Interstellar.
Yeah, I watched this recently. So basically, I've been watching a lot of films this week and I've been, like you said, you're like, mentally, where are you at?
I don't know. In the right place for Interstellar.
No, this film got me back on track because I've been watching so many movies this week and really struggling to like...
I feel that. I've been there.
And I went, do I just not like films now? Like, what's happening to me?
I think it's framing. I'm just
not enjoying anything right now. Like, what's wrong with me? Mm. And then... I put on Interstellar and I waited. I wanted to watch this one earlier in the week, but I knew it's a long film.
Mm.
I need time. I can't remember what I watched before it. Maybe I was just watching some TV.
Maybe How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Maybe that's why you're like, maybe I don't like films.
I don't like films. Because I'd seen Dallas Buyers Club like a week before. And then, I put this on and I was like, I love cinema. It really did that thing where you're like, this is why I love this. Yeah. I put my phone away. Yep. People were trying to text me. I was like, no, sorry.
No.
I'm watching Interstellar. It didn't feel like it was 3 hours. I love it so much.
It's one of those films that come along like every couple of years and you go, that was something, wasn't it? For me, the particular scene that actually always stands out is when they're on that planet with the water and then they get back to the spaceship and they see the guy that they were just with, and it's like been like 28 years or something. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. This
is the impact like that you get along the way, especially the family dynamic that's also ran through the whole story as well. Incredible.
This story is just, I know it's simple in premise. Like it's not like it's been done before in essence, but it was done so beautifully in a watchable way.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised by the reveal towards the end.
Yeah.
Because I sort of had an inkling.
It's also
at
like
the very beginning, but I'm
it's not a major part of the film. It's more about
it's a the core characters. Thing. Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's kind of.
And
sense.
I'm relative. I'm a little bit familiar with relativity just from other shit I've watched. Sorry, I saw other stuff I've watched. And yeah, no, but I just
yeah, it was incredible.
Immediately watchable. Heartbreaking as well, like
yeah, especially around the character of Jessica Chastain.
Yeah, oh
just
my god,
just that journey with those two characters. Ooh.
Oh yeah, I was like, oof.
Yeah,
oof, is he coming back? I don't know.
Yeah, but that's the whole point of this film. It's like, oh my god.
Yeah,
like,
and it's I couldn't do space travel. No thanks. No. Don't send me up there.
No thank you.
I've got stuff to do down here. Not a lot, but.
Just something.
Things to see.
What about the crops, though?
The crops. No, but I always think that. I'm like, I just think I'd be scared.
Well, I mean, from his perspective, he wasn't gone that long.
No.
That's the thing.
That's the
it messes with you, doesn't it?
It is crazy.
But his acting in this is also incredible.
It's heartfelt. It's very heartfelt the whole time.
It's not like Dallas Buyers where he completely embodies the character mm-hmm. and you don't see Matthew McConaughey. You still see Matthew McConaughey in this film, but he's definitely giving it his all in terms of the heart and soul that's in this.
Yeah, him and Anne Hathaway bounce off each other very well in this because they're the ones that are acting against each other for the majority.
They're the ones in space together for the rest of the time. But also very surprised Matt Damon cameo.
Yeah.
Which you didn't expect like 2 hours in. You're like, oh, Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, right.
What are you doing here?
The Martian? No.
No. Wrong film. No. He's still in space. But yeah. I would highly recommend this to anyone who hasn't seen Interstellar. It is awesome. Really loved it.
Mm-hmm. It is like 10 out of 10 film.
Yeah, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
I'm going to talk about his adventure films now. Please. So we've got two of them.
There's one other one I watched too, actually.
I've got a couple more, but this is
adventure films
encapsulating the two. So he's got... He did two around the same time. He did Sahara and he did Fool's Gold.
I've seen neither, but tell me.
Fool's Gold is kind of like a mix between the adventure style film and then also the rom-com because it does bring back Kate Hudson from How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and him playing off each other as another couple again. But it's also one of the times where it's like, oh, he's looking for some gold. It's like one of the ones where Spanish galleons have crash landed and he had to try and find it. There's a whole plot twist with he owes Kevin Hart money.
Okay.
It's one of Kevin Hart's first roles and he's like a rapper. Interesting. Very interesting. This one was filmed in Queensland. So I was telling you the other day when I was watching it and I was like, that looks like a building at QUD. And sure enough, a scene probably about 20 minutes down the track was outside that, you know, the heritage listed one that's all.
Oh, the art gallery.
Yeah.
I've shot in there. It was scary as hell. Everything had to be tennis ball. They're like, don't break anything. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, they filmed inside there as well.
Ugh.
And
Wouldn't recommend. Scary thing.
Because it's so heritage.
Yeah, and they walk around being like,
don't touch that.
Get that off that bit of floor. And you're like, oh.
It's only sticky tape, ma'am.
Oh, no, you would not see that.
No, I know.
Oh, my God, it's scary.
So I liked it from that perspective. Like, obviously, I was like, oh, I know that area. I know that area. They did Morton Island and stuff a bunch. This out of his, if I was going to say it's more rom-com-y, I think it is. It's probably one of his better ones. I think the character he plays is like a fool. He's like a lovable loser who's kind of like his whole life is trying to look for treasure, basically. And he had a relationship with Kate Hudson prior to the movie and they're going through a divorce at the start.
Okay.
He didn't turn up in time because he was looking for gold, so they actually are technically divorced. But then they get taken on this next expedition together. Not really, like, not against their will, but they just both happen to be on this adventure and then they fall in love again by the end.
Of course.
So it's like, it's fine. But Sahara, on the other hand, I watched this, you didn't, but I told you to read some of the production issues around this.
Did you know how much he marketed this film?
A lot, yeah. Apparently, drove around America in a van about the Sahara. So Sahara's, the best way to describe it is like if Indiana Jones meets James Bond. It's like two films in one, probably more because there was 10 screenwriters. Only four were credited.
You know a film is going to be a nightmare when there's like
that many people trying to work it out.
And they're not people that normally write. If it's like, oh, they're a trio, they write together, fine. But if it's just three separate people plus.
Anything more than four, it's going
to. Even three is pushing it unless you're a group that often.
Like a trio that know how to work off each other. Yeah.
It's like, nah, don't be doing that.
10. 10.
That's credited.
No, four accredited, 10 are like 10. It was given to 10 people to help out.
Yeah, but how many other people went, oh, also like studios and this?
Oh, 100%. Like, and you can tell on screen that mind. That's why it's like two films in one, because there's the Indiana Jones part where there's an old Civil War ironclad ship that went missing. They work out it probably went down the river in Africa or dried up in the Sahara. It's there somewhere. They're looking for it. Another revenge film looking for gold. But then there's this whole B story with Penelope Cruz being like a doctor, and there's like a plague virus going around at the same time. Their two stories intertwine. So to find the gold, they have to find out where the plague's coming from, and there's a whole villain lair and stuff. It's just wild.
Okay.
This film cost, I think it was like $160 million to make. It ballooned out from the $80 million it was supposed to. It doubled. And I'm pretty sure it only made about 20 to 40.
I mean, I'd never heard of it.
I heard of it. I remember when it came out. I remember it. I didn't see it at the time. There's a lot of legal issues with this. So when the budget breakdown came out, it was leaked, I think, in WikiLeaks. Because this was filmed in Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
They said there was some money given to the Moroccan government that if it was done in the US, it would have been less than legal. So bribes were happening, which is where some of the money was funding to. And a lot of that stuff happened for this film.
Yeah, I looked into it. It's dubious.
Yeah, and also there's a bunch of legal issues that went on for 10 years with the author of the book. Because this is it's based on a book series based on the character that he plays.
Yeah.
He was fine. It was just a relatively plain movie that he's in. I wouldn't say he stands out in any particular scene. He's not bad. It's just an adventure film that didn't quite stick the landing. It's a bit long. I think it's like 2 hours and 4 minutes. For an adventure film like this, an hour and a half.
Yeah, bring back 90-minute films.
90-minute films. Snap.
Get in, get out, have fun.
Especially for this. And pick one. Be a James Bond film or be an Indiana Jones film. Yeah,
you can't have both.
No, that's why National Treasure worked really well, because it was just trying to be an Indiana Jones. You know, like it was literally like, let's find this thing that we're looking for with Nick Cage.
Yeah, we want to make this film for this audience.
Yeah, there's the family dynamic in it, but it's still just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
This was trying to be too many things. So, unfortunate Sahara. I do want to mention probably one or two more before we wrap.
Yeah, I got one more that I finished.
I'll talk about one, then you go.
Okay.
I watched the movie called Mud.
I didn't, but I did think about it.
I would recommend it, maybe not soon, but if you get time and you're bored, it's not that bad. It's a movie based on, it's two boys and they're, you know, ride their boat along the Mississippi River, very Huckleberry Finn type.
I forgot about him.
And they go to an island that they usually go to. There's a boat stuck in a tree and they usually just hang out there. One day there's someone living in it, and it's obviously Matthew McConaughey. And they go to like know the guy and they help him out. He's like, I'm just waiting for someone. His girlfriend. And then they're going to go away. And slowly through the boys like adventuring and helping him out, they work out that they're on the run. They're actually fugitives. But you work out that he's not a bad person through this. And it's mostly about the boys coming of age. It's a coming of age film for those two boys because they're going through issues at home as well, but they relate more to Matthew McConaughey because he's, you know, relatable, charming again. And he's perceived as not a bad person, even though he's done probably a bad thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just it's a growth movie. Although Reese Witherspoon's the love interest, she's severely underused in this as well. She's in like 3 scenes.
Oh, well, you could have put her in it and then bumped up the start. Maybe it cost too much.
Probably. But I would highly recommend it. It's on Stan. It's just one of those things I'm like, this feels like a novel and it could be. I don't think it is, but it reads like from one of the boys' perspectives. It reads that way and it plays out on screen that way. Incredibly acted by Ty Sheridan is the main boy, because this is from like 2013. So he would have been quite young back then. Props to him. He did an incredible job as like the main boy playing off of Matthew McConaughey in this. And yeah, I would highly recommend it. It's one that you don't really hear about in his repertoire that much,
mm-hmm.
but it's one of his better ones, in my opinion.
Interesting.
Yeah, he plays a really good dramatic, heartfelt role. So yeah, that's Mud.
My other one that I watched this week, I don't know if you've ever seen it. Have you seen Contact?
I have. It's been a while. Yeah, I remember the ending particularly well.
This is a Jodie Foster, Matthew McConaughey film. More hers than his.
Yes.
But he plays a big role. Basically, she's a scientist and she's always looked up basically to see if there's anything else out there. So she's like, I'm science, only science. And he's like, I'm faith. He's like known as a religious author type.
Yeah.
Spiritual religious as opposed to any particular denomination. And they have a relationship throughout the film on and off, kind of more just like hookups as opposed to in love. And it sort of has that whole idea of like, is it science or is it faith based? Is their thing. And he plays a very good like love interest type in this. I enjoyed the film. Very odd at the end.
Yeah.
In terms of it's a bit experimental. But I do like
spoilers. It gets a bit weird with the whole dad relationship thing. Well, not like how she relates to her dad and what happens at the end. I felt that was a bit weird. But otherwise, up until then, I was jamming this film.
Yeah, and then even sort of, I was like, I get where you're going. It didn't quite land, but obviously, this is where they wanted to go with the film. And I always think, even if stuff doesn't land, I'm like, good for you for making execution. The film you wanted to make.
Yeah,
like because. It's always a nightmare when you're a filmmaker and someone goes, no, and you go, but this is what I wanted to do. Vision. So at least, you know.
Stuck to it. It's not a terrible film. It's just an interesting
ending. And I like where, I still like the very, very ending. Like I like where it gets to at the end and the whole concept of like, is there anything out there? Well, it'd be a waste of space if there isn't. And I'm like, exactly.
Yeah, that's probably, okay, fair.
Yeah. So I enjoyed it. It's just an easy.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years since I watched it, but I remember
Also, it's a 97 film, so it.
Good for the next week.
Good for coming up,
We'll talk about it more then.
Yeah.
Last one I'll speak about is The Dark Tower. So this one went relatively unknown the year it came out, 2017. I read it's based on a Stephen King series of novels, right? There's like seven in this Dark Tower series. I've read the first one, which I was going to assume this one was going to be based on. So The Gunslinger is the part one of this Dark Tower series. So I went into this going, I know what the book's about. I actually enjoyed the book. I thought it was going to be really cool. Matthew McConaughey plays a character called the Man in Black, whereas, Idris Elba plays the Gunslinger. And there's this boy who goes on the adventure with the Gunslinger and the Man in Black's the villain, essentially. And the whole idea is they need to get to the Dark Tower to do something. Anyway, it doesn't really adapt the book at all. It just kind of goes concept, own idea, and we're just going to put it out there. So it got a pretty bad rap because of that, and it wasn't executed amazingly well. It doesn't really utilize Matthew McConaughey's skill set in any particular way that's, you know, outstanding. He's just like a villain who's there. Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed by this, especially reading the book, knowing how much people love the book series as well.
It's like, diehard fans.
Yeah, this is like his big fantasy series that he's done because mostly he does like, you know, horror in real life kind of horror films. Yep. This is his fantasy thing that he's done. So people were definitely waiting to see what this looks like on the big screen. And yeah, it was a little bit disappointing. I think they were going to plan to do a series of films, but this one didn't do quite well at the cinema. So it kind of just wrapped up after one film and everyone's kind of forgotten it exists. Yep. That is The Dark Tower.
There's a couple that I got partway through watching that McConaughey's in. I started The Gentleman. I got 15 minutes in and I was like,
can I ask you why?
I just wasn't in the mood.
Was it, do you think it was the movie or just you were just not in the frame set?
I just think I was just not.
Yeah, okay.
And I just went, you know what? I'm going to turn this off because I'm not really here. And I'm going to watch a few more episodes of True Detective. Yeah. So I did that instead.
Yeah, okay.
That and The Wolf of Wall Street. I've only seen half of that still. I don't remember that. You do it all the time. Yeah, and I go, what's that? And you go, Matthew McConaughey, The Wolf of Wall Street. And I go, I've seen that movie twice.
I love this
film. Never finished it.
I really like it. But in terms of Matthew McConaughey, he's a mentor to Leonardo DiCaprio's character. So he's really in it
Is he?
At the start, he's the one who teaches him about kind of like, you know, the ropes of how to start making money properly as one of the
stockbrokers. I'm going to be honest. And I've seen this movie twice. Tried to.
You should watch it. It's pretty good. I know it's long. It's 3 hours.
I remember none of it. You're telling me that. I'm like.
It's like 12 years old now, I think.
Is he in it?
Yeah.
I don't.
And he's sitting at a dinner with Leonardo and he's like telling him the ropes and he's like, this whole thing was like, it's a funny scene. Anyway, like that's the only part that I remember him in really from it because he's not in it much. He's really not in it much. Even though he's like, it's his second highest film on his list.
I was like, is he in it? Shannon,
it's more of a bit part. Right. It's a bit part for him. But I like the film.
He's also apparently in Magic Mike. I'm not going to watch that film. Sorry.
He's on the cover. Oh, this doesn't, like, you didn't have a, no interest here.
Not for me. Is he on the cover?
Yes, he is. He's the one wearing the cowboy hat.
Oh, I've clicked on it. Now it's bigger. Yeah.
He's wearing the cowboy hat. I haven't seen these, but I probably will watch all three of them at some point just to get through Channing Tatum's filmography because I actually don't mind him. I think he's quite good.
He looks like a thumb, but that's fine.
He looks like a thumb, but I think he can act quite well. I think he's got comedic timing down to an absolute
He has.
He's very, very funny. And now that I've seen him in Blink Twice, I'm like, okay, you've got range, dude. I want to see some other stuff you've done.
So. Yeah, he got in because it's his missus. No?
Is he?
I think they're dating.
I'd have to look that up at some point. Oh, well, you could be right.
I have a feeling they're – anyway, the wrong, wrong episode.
Wrong. Weird, weird, weird.
Oh, no, he's with Jenna. I thought – no, they finished. They ended. I think he's with her.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense.
Are they engaged? They announced their engagement 2021. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, and I thought they were definitely
Props
together.
To them.
Yeah.
Well, they've done an amazing job on Blink Twice, and I hope it does really well.
I do want to see it, but whether I have time, I don't know. Well, I'm busy with other appointments and crap at the moment.
So many appointments.
It's not fun.
No. Next week for me is The Crow.
Mm.
I have to see that. That is not getting good reviews.
I think I'm just going
to
hold out until Beetlejuice.
Yeah, that's the week after, isn't it?
Mm.
Yes. Cool.
I don't know what we're doing, but I still kind of want to see it.
Beetlejuice. Big couple of weeks. Do you have any other ones to chat about? Otherwise, I think we're going to wrap.
Nah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's Matthew McConaughey. I'm glad that I got to see some more from him because I think I just had this idea of what kind of films he's. I've seen a couple and I was like, yeah, okay. But now I've seen some more. He's range.
Me too, yeah.
And I'm kind of glad this was picked because, like I said, it's something that we weren't really too strong on. And
nah,
now
we've never watched.
You know, this is exactly the point of these. Some of these films I never would have watched. You know, some of the ones like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days
best.
Probably would have stayed that way, but you know, but things like Mud and A Time to Kill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad I got to see Dallas Buyers, incredible films. If you haven't seen them, check them out.
And that pretty much wraps us up on Matthew McConaughey. As always, thanks for listening. If you'd like to get in touch, you can find us at Binge List on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, or you can email us at bingelistandboxofficehits@gmail.com. Have a great week, guys, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.